First, I want to ask you about the project in Israel. The electric cars is a real thing there. Drive tests are available. So I want to ask you how many charging stations are now in Israel and how many you'll have till the end of this year.
I'll give you some background before I get dark with your answer, if that's fine.
Yes.
2011 is where we launched the Israeli market.
Yes.
By that time, we'll have a full coverage of battery switch stations for the whole country, so that people can drive freely without any limitation in the country. In addition to that, we'll have about 30,000 charge spots distributed to private consumers in private homes, multi-units, streets, corporate parking, and public parking. That's before the launch. The launch is at the end of 2011. And what we're doing before that is we started a pilot at the end of 2010, where we're going to start testing the whole solution. We'll have low hundreds of cars. We'll have low thousands of charge spots. We will have about 10 battery switch stations in the country. And the target of that is to, again, test the whole solution and get ready for the launch. So it's going to be a scalable, kind of a gradual pilot that will grow until we have the official launch in the end of 2011. And that's the plan for 2010. Another thing you have to be aware of, I'm not sure if you are, is that we have launched the customer visitor center. It happened in February this year, where people can come in and basically see the whole solution, understand the problem that BetterPlace is trying to resolve, and most importantly, they can drive the cars, drive the EV, and sign up to be on the queue, to be the first users to drive the car when they come into the market.
But now, how many charging points are installed in Israel and how many electric cars are available?
Today we have installed the same number we had already in 2008. We are looking at about 1,000 charge spots in Israel.
And the number of cars?
The cars we have today is just demo cars. So most of them, not most of them, all of them are in the visitor center. The number of cars I think we have today is about 6 to 7. But again, these are customer experience cars. These are not real cars that we will have at the end from Renault. So we are using them to allow people to understand what is an EV and drive one. It's not the commercial cars we're going to get later on in 2010, at the end of this year.
But which will be the first commercially launched model? It will be the Renault Fluence?
It's the Renault Fluence, right.
And it will be available at the end of this year?
Will be available at the end of this year. We have one of that those cars already in the visitor center, but the cars that people are driving today are converted to Renault Laguna.
Tell me about the other projects besides Israel, the other country where you have similar projects.
Yeah, so in there is two projects that are running today. One of them is in Denmark, which is the second market we're going to launch after Israel. In Denmark, at the end of last year, we deployed a very small network of charging stations. The number is about 200 charge spots, which is a live network with real customers. In Denmark, you have today customers who are driving cars with a fixed battery. And those customers are using the BetterPlace network today. The system is up and running. Customers are using it. It's a great experience for us to learn about the customer experience and serving those customers, allowing us to get our products to become better. Denmark, just to give you an idea, will have at the end of this year a similar number to the numbers of charge spots that we're going to have in Israel. And then the launch of the Danish market is at the end of 2011 in a slight delay compared to the Israeli market. The other project which you mentioned also before is the Japanese project, where we got invited by the Japanese government to show how cars can switch batteries. And we have installed a battery switch station in the middle of Tokyo, in one of the main streets of the in downtown Tokyo. And we have today three taxis who are running 24/7 for the next 90 days on a car, on an EV with a switchable battery. When you go today to Tokyo, you can see a switch station. You can see those cars. You have real customers who are driving those cars. You have real taxi drivers who are driving 24/7. And through that, we are proving that cars in Tokyo, taxis in Tokyo, and obviously in other places around the world, can drive with clean transportation and not being constrained by the fact they are driving an EV. So when you look at that, we prove switching in Tokyo, which is one component of our solution. We proved in Denmark charging, which is another component of the solution. And then everything comes together as a complete solution in the first proof market, which is the Israeli market at the end of this year.
And you will have similar trials in other cities like Tokyo with some taxis?
Could be. I mean, we are seeing already now after the first 3 days in Tokyo that other capitals, other cities are interested to duplicate the same efforts we have done in Tokyo. So I cannot mention names, but you could expect that something like this, of course, if it's successful, will and should be duplicated across multiple cities around the world.
It would be interesting to know how much does it cost to install a standard charging station and a quick drop charging station, which of course is more complex.
So the numbers are the same numbers we have been saying from day one. The cost of a battery switch is approximately $500,000 for the components and the deployment, and the cost of a charge spot is $1,000.
But the critics of electric cars said that the disadvantage is the lack of charging points combined with the fact that electric cars have low autonomy. How many charging stations do you think, let's say, a city of 2 million inhabitants must have to have also a good coverage for all drivers?
You need to have one charge spot at home, and then you need to have another 0.5 charge spot per car. So in a sense, you would need about 1.5 charge spots per car. And the number of battery switch stations is really depends on the size of the country and the driving habits. But in a place like Israel, like Denmark, you will need approximately about 70 stations, while in bigger countries, of course, the numbers will go higher.
Please describe the subscription model of Better Place. People are buying the car, not the battery, and then are paying a monthly fee, just like mobile phones. How much do they have to pay, and how will the monthly fare be calculated?
So the numbers of you're buying miles at the end of the day. It's like a cell phone where you're buying minutes. In our case, you buy kilometers or miles. The cost of the kilometer will be dependent on the subscription package you get. But, you know, the overall target we have is to make sure that the kilometers and the total cost of ownership of a car, of an EV in this case, will be lower compared to an equivalent gasoline car.
The Fluence will go global this year. And what can you tell me about the price of the car? Will it be under 20,000 euros, or will it be interesting just if the government heavily subsidizes the car?
It depends on the taxation policy in every country. Will have a direct impact, obviously, on the car cost. I can tell you that for places like Israel and like Denmark, the car will be cheaper compared to an equivalent gasoline car.
But why are the electric cars developing in such a countries like Israel, like Denmark? What do they have in common to be so good for the future of electric cars?
You have good incentives for the consumers in those markets by supporting policies from the government. So in a sense, when you look at Israel, the taxation on gasoline cars is about 80%, while on EVs it's 10%. In Denmark, you go up to 180% on gasoline cars, while for EV, the consumer doesn't have to pay any tax. So the coming in conditions in those markets promote the consumer to make the change. So once we have that combination together with the taxation on gasoline, the overall competitive offering, in this case an EV, together with the fact that we're going to have enough infrastructure to allow you to have freedom of driving, makes the competitive package, which is the EV package, very appealing, especially in the beginning where those cars are not yet in mass production.
How important is the fact that the distances are low because the countries are not big?
Not at all. I mean, it doesn't matter if your country is very big or very small. You usually don't drive more because your country is bigger. The difference here is negligible. It's 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers on an average. So in a sense, If you are driving instead of 60 kilometers on an average 80 kilometers, the battery is bigger than what most of us need, and therefore it doesn't have any impact at all.
Critics say that the operators won't be able to provide as much electricity as would be needed in a world full of electric cars. What do you say to those critics that say the system won't be able to cope with a huge demand in electricity?
I'm saying that in order for you to go on mass deployment of EV, you need to have a solution like Better Place. You need to have an operator in between that actually has a smart grid management that knows how to charge the cars and take into consideration the overall electricity which is available in the grid. In our world, when you come in the morning to the office or come back home to your home and you plug in your car, it doesn't mean automatically that you also get electricity. It means that we understand that you may need electricity, but we also understand what's the load on the grid in any given point, and then based on that, we understand what's going to be the right time to charge you, so we won't have an impact on the grid. If you want to take a test case, here in Israel, the utility company has done an analysis that shows that once you don't have a smart operator like Better Place that manages the overall electricity which is used against cars, you will need to have about 20% additional production of electricity to support that scenario. While where you have an operator like Better Place, there is not going to be an excess capacity and you won't need to add any capacity to support that scenario. Another thing we are saying from the day one is that we would like to actually generate clean electricity to support the charging for our cars. There is a very nice balance between renewables and EVs. If you take Denmark as an example, in Denmark you have a lot of wind blowing at night, but you don't have consumers that can actually use that electricity. When you have cars plugged into the grid in the night, you basically get clean electricity at low peak hours, and then through that you don't have any additional requirements on the grid, vice versa. You have cars who have 100% battery in the morning, and then during peak time, you can actually bore back electricity from the cars to the grid to support the peak and what is really called peak shave in peak hours. That's the vision we have. We believe that eventually that's going to happen. And as said before, the prerequisite for a mass adoption of EVs requires to have an operator like Better Place that has a smart grid to ensure that we are not having overcapacity in the grid.
So you are also managing the grid and the charging times.
We manage the charging times at every car which plugs into our network.
Some open-minded countries like Denmark or Israel are quick to embrace the electric cars, but other regions are slow to follow. In Eastern Europe, for example, electric cars are regarded as exotic thing. When do you think the electric cars will be interesting to the clients in Eastern Europe? How much will it be the delay compared to the developed market?
I don't think there should be a delay. I mean, it's like a TV, you know. Once you get a new technology, HDTV as an example, at one point the whole market is going there. When you buy a new TV, you no longer buy a TV that doesn't know how to go on the new technology. I think the same thing will happen eventually with cars. Cars is the, you know, after the house we are buying is the most expensive buying decision we make. If I buy a car in 3 years and I need to ask myself whether I'm going to buy a car of a new technology of the future or the car of the old technology, most of the consumers will make a decision to go with the new technology as long as the new technology is proven. The main motivation for that, by the way, is to make sure that when I sell this car, I get a fair market value. And if you are buying a car which is on the old technology, when you try and sell it, it's going to be a big problem. You just don't buy a car. So we believe that as long as we can show that the solution of an EV is sustainable, it's convenient, it's economic, it's proven, the tipping point is going to come much faster than people think, and it's going to come to many markets at the same time.
But don't you think the attitude towards electric cars is really different in Eastern Europe, where the people really don't care about the environment and are heavily oriented towards lower prices?
Yeah, I understand. I'm saying that at the end of the day, if the cars are economic, for the consumer, the mass adoption is going to happen. Now, we're seeing higher price of gasoline and taxation in Western countries, but also in some of the Eastern European markets. I believe that there's going to be the right conditions so that we can actually go there. And at the end, governments will have to make a decision. I mean, if you want to go on a solution which is sustainable, which is the right solution, and doesn't have the impact on the environment in terms of the government, in terms of pollution, that obviously has also the cost associated with it. I mean, when a car goes on the road, it has an additional cost to the government because of pollution, because of the implication of pollution, because of the imports of oil. So at the end of the day, governments need to take part of that tipping point or the conversion between the old technology and the new ones. Most of the European markets on the West End are there today, and I believe that eventually every market should be there as well.
Romania is the second most important production base for Renault, and the group also promised to launch in our country the Fluence Electric next year. Have better players discussed some projects with the Romanian authorities? Have you tried to make a proposition for testing a small number of EV in our country?
I'm not going to disclose any discussions we had, so I apologize for that.
But I will ask you an opinion. Today, the Romanian government created a committee to develop a national strategy for adoption of electric car. How should such a strategy be constructed? We are at ground zero. We know really nothing about the electric car. How should the government decide how many cars will be on our roads in 10 years from now? What's the starting point?
I think that the starting point should understand what's going to make the conversion from a consumer perspective successful. So what is the existing policy that should be changed or should be incentivized the consumer to make a change from gasoline cars to electric vehicle?
So the thing is important if the government must decide how much money will be invested. As France said, in 10 years we want to have 2 million electric cars on the road and we'll invest 1 billion euros.
I'm not saying investing. No, I think that eventually what we're seeing today is that companies like Better Place, when we come to a country, we are not looking for an investment from the government. Definitely nothing else. So we put the installation of the infrastructure, we get the cars, we do it end-to-end. What I'm just saying is that for them making the change, for making the change for the consumer, the buying decision to go from gasoline to electric vehicle, you need to make sure that you have the right prerequisites. And usually is that you need to have the right taxation on gasoline car. And you have to have the right taxation on gasoline. There are some countries around the world that basically the governments are co-funding the price of gasoline for the consumers. And we don't believe that that's the right thing to do. Putting a car, as said before, on the road has an implication on a government in terms of pollution, in terms of the health cost that is as a result of the pollution we have in the cities from cars. We also pay gasoline prices to countries, which is usually not in our country. I mean, there is a few countries who hold oil in this world, and therefore this money goes out of the country. So there are many, many implications as a result of driving those gasoline cars, and some of the countries do price it in taxes, and some of them are not. And in those cases where you are not, the incentive for the consumer to go in an alternative is not enough. So if I have 0% on gasoline cars, I don't have any incentive to go for something which is cleaner. So what I'm saying is that to begin with, you need to see where is your policy and what needs to change in the policy so that we can make the alternative a compelling offering and allow people to have an incentive to go for the conversion. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to stay with low taxation on EVs forever, but it means that for the beginning, where those cars are not in mass production, as a result of that, the cost of the car and the cost of the battery is higher. For that phase, you need to have an incentive for the consumer. And then as those cars becoming more of a mass production, what we are seeing government saying is that the taxation on them will go higher. But at the same time, the taxation on gasoline cars will go higher as well, so that we'll have all the time a specific gap, a fixed gap between gasoline cars to EVs.
So the EV will be helped if the government increase some taxes on gasoline cars.
Either increase or have the right taxation, and you are seeing that in most countries, in Western European countries, you either have a taxation which is the right one, or on the other side, governments are providing funding for consumers who decide to go on clean cars. It happens in France, it happens in Spain to some extent. So it's not something which was invented by a government. It's something that governments understand today. And to your question before, that's one of the first things that the government should look into when they make a decision to go and have an alternative for gasoline cars.
Yes, because many countries offer heavy incentive for electric cars, Ireland, Spain. So this is the near future, offering, let's say, 5,000 euros for next future consumers who buy the EV.
Right.
But many people expect the state, the government, to invest in creating the charging station. Which do you think is the best model, to have a private company investing or to expect the state to invest in creating the charging stations?
I really don't have an answer, but I'm not seeing governments putting cellular infrastructure to support Orange or Vodafone or others. So if a country decides to do it, we will be happy to tell them also, you know, how to do it successfully. I mean, the target we have as a company is to make sure that EVs are mass adopted around the world and we complete the dependency on oil. But we don't believe that every country will make a decision to go and invest heavily into creating an infrastructure end-to-end with battery switch, with charging spots. We don't see it today, so I cannot tell you. But if the Romanian government decides to go for it, we will be happy to support that to some extent.
Do you think that solar power could be a range extender for electric cars in the near future, installing solar panels on the roof of the car?
I don't think there is going to be enough electricity developed through the solar panel, at least not with the technology today, to make it a real solution. In addition to that, you need to remember that cars are usually parked 22 hours per day. So in most cases, you're also parked in covered parking, and therefore it makes much more sense, instead of having the solar panels on a car, take them all the solar panels and have them in the right place and generate the electricity over there to power those cars.
So it's not a solution for extending?
Probably not.
How can we see the future of electric car, as a replacement for gasoline or just to complete some things, just slow progress?
We believe that EVs are the future for every segment in the market, from anyone who is driving less kilometers to those who are driving a lot of kilometers. Just to give you information, in Israel, we are after people are driving a lot of kilometers per year. The solution that Benefit is offering is the only solution that offers freedom of driving through the battery switch, and we believe that the market will be able to see the first country is going off oil and having a real sustainable EV solution in Israel in 2010. And you can already see today, I mean, taxi is one of the segments in the market that needs to have freedom of driving. And it's the third day today that you have taxis in Tokyo driving without any problem in the city, customers 24/7 a day.
And one final question. The quick drop station is a very interesting solution to have the battery change in 2 minutes. But critics say that we'll need standardization in the industry, so other models can also plug the batteries at those stations. What can Better Place do to have this standard?
First of all, we are creating the standard committee around that topic, so that when we go to market, we will have a standard. If there is no standard, consumers will not be able to make a decision to buy the car. So it's in our intention or attention to make sure that we have one standard across different car companies and car models. And we believe that we have the power, and together with Renault and other car companies who will come in the future, to create the right standards, which will be the right standards for the consumers.
So you think if you are the creators of the models, the other automakers will follow and make batteries to comply with it?
No, I'm saying that we need to create it with the car industry. So in the committee we have, you have obviously Renault and Nissan, you have other car companies in the future, and if everybody wants to go towards the same kind of solution of making EVs mass adopted, it's in our intention to make sure that that will happen as fast as possible.